In 1932, the Great Depression was crippling the industrialized world. In Denmark, a man named Ole Kirk Christensen was finding it hard to stay employed. So, he started his own company, a company that manufactured items out of wood, which made sense given that Christensen was a master carpenter. The company produced stepladders, ironing boards, and wooden toys. The toys, they were simple trucks, yo-yos, and ducks on wheels. Everybody loves ducks on wheels. As the toy business began to grow, Christensen decided to name his company Play Well. Actually, he took the Danish word for play and the Danish word for well, and he snapped them together to create the company name. And those Danish words were leg and gult. And the company name became what? There you go. The early days of the company were rough and chaotic. Christensen was a widow and raising four sons by himself. There was the Great Depression to contend with, as well as the German invasion of Denmark in 1940. And then in 1942, a fire destroyed all the company's inventory, plus its plans and blueprints for the new toys. The company almost folded, but Christensen held on. Lego, of course, was not the only company making toys. In 1939, a British inventor had patented a toy known as Kiddycraft self-locking bricks. These plastic bricks were made from cellulose acetate, and they were small and square with rounded edges and four interlocking studs on top of each brick. These bricks were meant to be used like wooden blocks that kids played with. Over in Denmark, Christensen learned about these bricks in Britain from one of his vendors, a vendor who was trying to sell him the plastic extruding machine. In 1949, Lego then began producing a version of the Kiddycraft idea with bricks that were larger and had sharper edges. And these were called automatic binding bricks. Yeah, it really just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? And the bricks, kind of like the name, didn't work so well. The blocks were not very sturdy, the plastic could break, and they didn't snap and hold together. So, after years of research and development, in 1958, the Lego company patented a new brick with a stud and tube design that allowed the bricks to snap together without coming apart. These bricks were created using a more durable type of plastic known as ABS, and these are the modern Lego bricks that we all know and love and step on. The Lego company designers continued to build this Lego line. In the 1960s, they invented the wheel, a round brick with a rubber tire, and they make over 300 million tires each year, more than are produced by the Goodyear company. In the 1970s, they introduced those little miniature figures to populate the towns that kids were building. In the 1990s, they entered into a partnership with Lucasfilm to create Star Wars theme-based toys. And later, they partnered with the Harry Potter films to make even more toys. Lego is recognized as one of the top brands in the world. Today is Transfiguration Sunday. It is the last Sunday before the start of the season of Lent. Lent begins with Ash Wednesday and the imposition of ashes. The Transfiguration story, as we find it in the Gospels, tells of Jesus leaving the crowds behind and retreating up a high mountain. He takes with him Peter, James, and John, and at the top of the mountain, Jesus is transfigured. His face shines like the sun. His clothing dazzles. And then suddenly appearing next to him are two heroes of the faith, Moses and Elijah. Moses represents the law. Elijah represents the prophets. And seeing these three there together on top of that mountain, Peter proposes that they make three dwellings. One for Jesus, one for Moses, one for Elijah. But before he can even finish this proposal, a voice comes from a cloud. And the voice commands, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." The disciples fall to the ground in fear. They cover their heads, but Jesus reassures them. And when they finally look up, well, they are once again alone with Jesus. Our reading for today is from another account of someone meeting God on a mountain. This time it is Moses. About 1,300 years before Jesus' transfiguration, something similar happened to Moses. Moses had led the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. Our reading finds them in the wilderness on their prolonged journey to the land that God had promised them. Although they cried out to God in Egypt, and God had delivered them, the Israelites, well, they really didn't know this God very well. You see, it had been generations since the days of Joseph, and the knowledge of the Lord had evaporated from the people. The people did not know what this God expected of them or how they were to coexist with this God. And so it came time for God to take action. God called to Moses to approach the slope of Mount Sinai and wait. God would deliver to him tablets of stone containing the laws and commandments. Moses does as God commands and journeys up the mountain. A cloud covers the mountain. The glory of God settles on Mount Sinai and remains there for 6 days. The people down in the valley at the base of the mountain, they can witness the magnificence of God's glory. And it appears to them, well, like a great fire consuming the top of the mountain. And Moses waits. Moses waits for 6 days. And finally, on the 7th day, God calls to Moses from out of that cloud. Moses then enters the cloud and remains there with God for 40 days and nights. And when Moses finally exits the presence of the Lord, he too is transfigured. His face glows. The tablets of stone which God bestows to Moses, they contain God's holy law, the commandments. And these commandments are God's instructions for living in relationship with God and with one another. And as I've said many times before, these commandments are not intended to be restrictive or prohibitive. It is not a list of don'ts. The commandments are guides for living lives that lead to salvation. Killing, stealing, lying, adultery. These are actions that come between us and God. For example, being consumed with jealousy towards a neighbor, coveting. Being consumed with jealousy does not leave room in our hearts for us to fully love God as well. God's commandments and God's laws, these are God's instructions on how we might worship and love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. The commandments invite us into a perfect relationship with God. The Holy Scripture, the Bible, it starts with the word of creation in Genesis. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. In other words, there was chaos. The parts were there, but there was no order. And God brought order by putting the pieces into place, separating the water from the land, the heavens from the earth, the light from the darkness. Now, throughout our history, some have argued that, yes, God created all things, but then God chose to just step back. And God set the world to run on its own without any interference. But our faith disputes this. We know that God is continually with us, watching over us, guiding us, bringing order to the chaos. And in the wilderness, Moses and the Israelites, they were living in chaos. And God's commands were given to provide order to their existence. Now, I got a box of Lego bricks right here, all shapes and sizes. And I shake this box, and those Legos just bounce around. They exist in chaos. There's no order to them. Now, I could pour them out on a table, but they would still be in chaos. I can sit down and begin to assemble them, snapping them together. And in doing so, I am introducing order. I can form them into shapes. I can build things. I can bring order to the chaos of those bricks. Now, one of the appeals of Legos is their versatility. Bricks can be snapped together in many different configurations. And a mathematician has gone so far as to calculate the number of ways that Legos can be arranged. And he took six standard Lego bricks, the kind that have eight studs on top, two rows of four, the regular Lego brick. How many ways can you arrange those six blocks together? Is it 100 ways? No, 1,000. How about 100,000? 1,000,000? I can keep going. 100,000,000? No, more than that. How about 915,000,000 ways? Six Legos, just six Legos can be arranged 915,000,000 ways. Human beings, we're kind of like that. Because we exist in seemingly an infinite number of configurations. Just take those of us in this room. Think about the ways that we connect with one another, the way that we react to one another. I can, for example, be kind to you, but harsh to you. And you could share with me, but take from somebody over there. Or I could be forgiving to you and harsh to someone else. When Legos were first introduced, they were just interlocking bricks. Kids could snap them together and make shapes. But the genius of Lego was not simply to sell bricks. They sold realities. And Legos has dozens, if not hundreds, of playsets or kits with all the pieces needed to build something very specific. You can build a space shuttle, the Titanic, a fire truck, Hogwarts Castle, a pirate ship. Each of these kits is their own little world with all the necessary pieces and instructions on how to fit everything together. A kid might, well, just take a kit and snap all the pieces together at random, and if they do so, it's doubtful that they're going to come up with what's on the picture of the box, like a fire truck. Or they can follow the guide, the instructions, the pictures, and then brick by brick, a kid can bring order to this chaos and create something special. Of all the possibilities and permutations about how we as humans can interact with one another, there is one way established by God. God has provided the commands, the guide, the instruction, and when we follow the guide, we can build something special. We can build a kingdom. But as we know, we're not very good at following instructions, and we sin. And parts and pieces and bricks end up in the wrong places, in the wrong configurations. But God is patient, and God is kind, and God continues with us, forgiving the mistakes we've made, helping us undo the wrongs. As we read in Scripture later in the book of Exodus, God's covenant with God's people, God's promise is this: I will dwell among the Israelites, and I will be their God, and they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, and I might dwell with them. I am the Lord their God. This is God's promise, God's covenant to stay with us, shaping us, forming us brick by brick until we become something truly special. God gave us the law and the prophets to guide us. We didn't always listen. And finally, God sent someone to be with us, to walk with us, to teach us, to play with us. God sent a son, a carpenter. And if we do desire to build a kingdom, we must do as God commands and listen to Him. Amen.